presented by Ring and Thomas Prunk, the People's Paladin Prunk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom, first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProcPops.wordpress.com and KDUX Web Radio. WordPress.com.
You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Prunk, the presenter of the Prunk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District.
Warning to the United States. I'm afraid that if we have another terrorist attack, a significant one, that is true. Attacked and involved us in war after war after war. Now, I'm not saying anything that the founding need intelligence as to where these people are. And like I alluded to, what's going to happen is they're already preparing for it. They're prepared for it. They know this is coming. They are building tunnels in cities and areas where they have control, cities and towns, deep underground. So you can bomb them to kingdom come, but you're not going to kill them. And I raise this because when you bomb them, you're definitely going to kill innocent men, women, and children. You see, I do not agree with Donald Trump. If we are going to go to war, have it declared. Get the American people behind it, assuming you can get the American people behind it. The American people do not want to send their guns and daughters to be on fire between groups, local groups, fighting a religious sectarian war. That's what's happening in the Middle East. On one side, you have the Sunni Arabs in the form of Islamic State. And who are they going after? Who are they knowing Shias? Primarily from Iraq. And the majority in Iraq are Shias, which is one of the major sects of Islam. Sunnis are by far the majority. Over 80% of Muslims in the world today are Sunni. Maybe over 10% are Shia. But they predominate in two areas. One being Iraq, southern Iraq and Baghdad. And the other is Iran, in the Islamic Republic of Iran. So that's what's going on. It's a battle, that's a war, a religious sectarian civil war that's been going on for decades, centuries actually. And American people do not want to be a referee or an umpire. And the thankful stands. You see, think about it for a minute. We left troops in Germany, Japan, and South Korea. And they're still there. Last time I checked, there are about 35,000 troops in South Korea. We have many, many troops in Japan, but primarily in Okinawa, which is sort of becoming troops in Puerto Rico. Okinawa is part of Japan, but not many people go there. Have you been to Puerto Rico? I haven't been to Puerto Rico. Actually, when I was the son of a professional soldier, so I lived in Taipei, Taiwan for about 5 years, not continuously. Going there by ship and coming back by ship, Navy ship, we stopped in Okinawa to pick up people and then went to Japan. So I at least seen it. It's a problem with many military bases. And the recurring problem is, like every month, you have Marines, I think one of the divisions that's headquartered there. And when did World War II end? In August of 1945, we still have troops there. That's a major U.S. base. We have thousands of troops, many bases, Army, Navy, and Marines, and Air Force. I was living in Germany, but I also was in Germany, both Regensburg and Frankfurt. Particularly here for Frankfurt, a lot of Regensburg, Frankfurt, you can keep. We had military bases. But this was the early 50s when I was a kid. We still have bases in Germany, major hospitals in Germany. And we have bases throughout Europe, Turkey, for example, Spain, for example, Italy, for example. This is all indicators of an empire. Now, many Americans will object. They resisted this. Well, we don't have an empire. Yeah, most Americans do have an empire. They'll say, no, we don't have an empire. What are you talking about? We don't have colonies. We don't have an empire. Well, we don't have an empire. Why do we have all these bases around the world? Why? Why do we spend more money on the military than the next dozen countries? And one of the largest military forces, bar none. Ladies and gentlemen, the reason is we have an empire. An empire with their military garrisons or bases. It includes the ports, air force bases, army bases, depots, pre-positioning of military weapon armaments all over the world. It's a big business. President Eisenhower warned of this, and it's a great talk within Congress, especially in districts where there's a large military presence. This is important. One rarely happens, we intervene, not many every year, but at least once every 5 years, we're intervening somewhere in a major way. The problem, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have money anymore. It's that simple. We're broke. We're going broke. The debt is simply understates it because, you know, by the time Obama leaves office on the 20th of January, I think President Trump takes the oath. Either by the time, a couple of months later, the total national debt will be over $20 trillion. But that's just a fraction of the unfunded liabilities, mainly for both in Europe is the wealth around the world pay their fair share. Now, some will quickly say, well, we do. We buy weapons from the United States. And to a certain extent, that's true. And U.S. military spending as a percent of the gross domestic product, GDP, has gone down. Ours is a little above 3%. Most of the other countries are paying a lot less than 3%, some less than 2%. So it's time that all our allies, or everyone, our Romanian allies, are going to have to increase their military expenditures. You see, in economics, we call this the free rider problem. And you have a free rider problem when it comes to national defense. We are defending Europe and the Middle East. Why do you think we got involved in the Middle East? As long as we were to defend Saudi Arabia, and yes, they produce a lot of oil, and we turn around and take the dollars and buy U.S. weapon systems. But that's only a fraction of the profits that they get from oil. What I'm indicating is very simple. It is up to each country that is an ally to defend themselves. And we need to put these nations on notice that gradually the United States is going to come on home. It's going to put America first. For the simple reason we can no longer afford a huge American empire. It directly threatens our freedom, our liberty, and it is bankrupting like it bankrupted the Soviet Union. And if we continue doing it, it doesn't end well. And it's very difficult for the drumbeater, the war, the neocons to accept. They don't even want to talk about this. I mean, you can understand a lot of the budget is secret. All we know what the military appropriations is. But there's not such things as black budgets that are buried in the budgets of other departments. And that's something when you add up the pensions and the cost of caring for our veterans. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. We should meet our obligations. But we need to get balanced by the federal government. Yet the world has become a little more dangerous. You see, it was the defeat and really the winning of the better way to settle it, of the Cold War by the United States and its allies. And remember, the Cold War was more or less from 1946, some say a little later, but from 46 to about 1990, Soviet Union broke up in 89. The enemy was the Soviet Union and Communist China. And that was the primary justification for the large military expenditures, and many people, including me, went along with it. But now we're facing the facts that we're running out of money. And you know that because every year we're running these massive deficits of $100, $200, $500, $1 trillion, $500 billion, $1,000 billion, and they're going to go. A lot of people are not willing to face facts, financial facts, and what the inescapable consequences is. We can either general consensus was that So they tell the unions to shut up, but the union workers say, no, we're not going to go along with this. We know what's happening. So you're seeing rebellion or revolt at the grassroots by the American voters. And the press is trying to keep this under wraps. It's not going to stay under wraps. It affects every community. But there's not really many stories about it, are they? They did have a speaker, Cheryl Langford, that told her side story. She lost her husband. Service protection. Most Americans can't afford a bodyguard. They're
Renaissance